Greetings, we are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Unless you expect God to change you. God is not pleasured by streets of gold or clouds of angels. See, that's what impresses us as mere mortals. We're like, ooh, streets paved with gold. I saw an angel. Ooh, a cloud in the sky. That's not necessarily pleasurable for God. He created it. He's like, this is my everyday living environment. I do this to make a believer out of you through my signs and my wonders. It doesn't necessarily pleasure him with the streets of gold, the clouds of angels, but it pleasures him. That's what God intentionally put in the Word of God. It is pleasurable every time you expect a miracle. He's not necessarily pleasured at the miracle because he's like, that's easy for me. Okay, you need money. Whoop-de-doo. I can create it out of thin air. I can create food out of the dew, which is what he did with the children of Israel. I can give you angel food. That's nothing. That's easy. But what impressed him is that you expected him to do it. You create a river of pleasure through the heart of God. You create a river of pleasure through the heart of God. Every time you doubt, you create waves of pain. Did you catch that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You can, and that's why I tell people, you know, they say favor isn't fair. But I'm coming to realize that maybe favor is fair. And I mean that. It's based on the decisions that you make. It's based on your character.
That's right. Come on.
Your belief is based on your posture. And you know what? To the person that's not doing right, living right, speaking life, believing right, yes, they may say, it's not fair how they get blessed. And I'm over here waiting on God for the last 2 years, and then they just get in the last 2 weeks. That's not fair. But you know what? For those crybabies and those people who don't take accountability, I will say to them, you know what? It is fair, because let's examine their life. You a tither. No, I try my best. Okay, let's look at this. Do you expect a miracle from God, or do you wake up speaking depth? Do you wake up doubting God's existence? Do you wake up doubting God can provide? Do you wake up thinking that this mountain or this trivial matter is bigger than what God can conquer? See, because when they wake up, they wake up saying, God, I thank you. I am your wealth.
Yes, love. I am your prosperity.
I am the overcomer. I am the head, not the tail. I am above, not beneath. I am the lender, not the borrower. I decree and declare Deuteronomy 28:2 that the blessings of the Lord shall overtake me. I decree and declare Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for the good and the love of the Lord. Decree and declare in Psalms where you say you would not withhold no good thing from them to walk uprightly. I decree and declare when they wake up, they decree it, they expect it, they are in good posture. But when you wake up, what are you speaking? And then you want to have the audacity to say, oh, it's not fair. But you know what? I'm coming to think in this age that I am in that maybe favor is exactly fair.
It
is.
Come on now. Amen.
Because it means fail when you are doing good, when you are planting, when you are being consistent, when you are loyal to the commandment. Your life should be different than everybody else. You should have a better quality than everybody else.
Come on.
You should have more money in your account. You should have a health now. You should have a blissful marriage and relationship. You should have
so.
Of the land.
Amen.
Because what you are doing, your expectation will prove that.
Say
and it
that.
Will create pleasure God. It will create is a pleasure he delights to give to you. He delights to bless you because you have been proven consistent in his will.
Thank you, God. It means
that if you are in faith and expectation, it pleasures him. Then, of course, the opposite. If you are in doubt, regression, depression, sin, if it pleasures him when you do good, I guarantee it brings him pain when you. What do you think the consequence of that would be? Do you think really God would give you the streams and flow of favor when you are causing him pain? Honestly, be fair. Even with your own children or people that you've maybe been a guardian over, when they have hurt your heart, cussed you out, maybe slammed the door, broke something, you think you're running up to them to give them $100 and say, go to the mall and spend something on me? Not at all. When you have been in pain, when people have pained you, you tend to say, you know what, I'm going to give you your space because apparently you don't want what I have. You don't see the value in me. I'm going to go ahead and go my separate way and let favor go with me. That's what God does. When you are causing him pain because of your doubt, because of your depth of your speaking, because we have the power of death and life and the power of our tongue, because you are speaking doubt, yes, you wonder why favor dries up with you. I don't understand. If I knew how God, see, this is what it means by having to know really who God is. When you know who he is, then you know exactly what pleases him when you speak, how you live, what you do, where you go, how you act, what you believe, what you think. When you know all of those things that bring God pleasure, why in the world would you even want to step outside? It's too dangerous. It is too dangerous out here in world to live outside God's favor, to live outside the river of pleasure through God's heart. I don't ever want to create waves of pain for my Jehovah. We may do it because we're not perfect. No, you're not going to be perfect, but a lot of people use that as an excuse. Well, I'm only human. I fail. But you know intentionally when you fall. You saw that rock and you purposely tripped over it. It's one thing to look down, you see that little rock on the road, and you say, ooh, I almost fell. Let me jump over it. At least I saw it. I avoided it. But when you purposely see the rock and say, oops, I'm going to trip over it. Well, I'm human. Oops, I slept with that man even though I was married. Oops, I went ahead and fornicated even though I'm not married. Oops, I'm over here sipping and drinking and getting drunk instead of getting on my knees trying to drown my sorrow. Oops, I'm not believing in the Lord. He told me to fast and pray. He told me to do this. I'm not doing it. Oops, I'm only human. Oops, God told me to do this. He had a great call in my life as a prophet, as a deacon, as a pastor, but I'm not doing the right things in preparation to prepare me for my call. Oops, I'm only human. I got a lot going on. Oops. A lot of these things we begin to now rely on as a crutch, and it takes us out of the path of expectation, and it now begins to have us on the path in the river of waves of pain through God. And that's no way. You cannot flourish in this season. You cannot flourish in this year if you are not producing the seed of expectation. So you got to understand what you need to know about expectation. Expectation, number one, is the powerful current that makes the seed work for you. If you're not sowing, and I'm not just saying with your money, but even with your time, with your life, with your attitude, with your actions, if you're not sowing with a purpose and with expectation, your seed can't work for you. Yes. You got to understand that the Lord, which is why we mainly say, you know, sow your seed, place it on an assignment. Know exactly where you want your seed to go in your life in the future. Let it bring a harvest for you. That way the angels that are on an assignment with every seed you sow, talking about even as you give monetarily, they know exactly how to war against any type of opposition that will harm the manifestation of your seed. So if you're planting it for your child, or if you're planting it for yourself, for relationship, for more wisdom, I've done all of those things. And now the angels know how to ward against over the mind of your child, over your husband or soon-to-be husband, over your health. The angels know how to war against any opposition that may come from the impartation of wisdom that you're asking God for. They know intentionally now specifically how to war against any opposition so that your harvest can come to pass quickly. Understand number two, expectation is only possible when a seed has been planted. You must first learn to expect something, but how can you expect something from nothing? You must, well, you know what, you can. You can expect nothing from nothing.
So that's right. Amen.
Even
Amen.
A seed of nothing brings a harvest of nothing. And I'm talking even beyond monetary. How in the world, this is so funny. I mean, it's really funny when you talk to people. We say, what do you want prayer for? I just want you to pray that I become closer with the Lord and I see him face to face and he begins to talk to me and share me the secret things of God, blah, 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 blah. So they want to get all close, right? They want to be a best friend with God, basically. So I said, that's easy. That's cool. Tell me your lifestyle now. How much do you pray? Well, I'd be tired when I get off of work, so I just pray in the car. I said, give me an example of that prayer. When I know they're stuttering and they can't even form a word, I know they don't pray in a car. They probably bopping the newest Beyonce track. Who knows? So then I say, okay, how many times a week do you fast? Well, you know, my doctor said that I need to go ahead because I'm hyperglycemic and blah, blah, blah. I say, oh, so you don't pray, you don't fast. Lord, let me ask you how much you read your word. So, okay, you don't read your word, but yet you want to be God's best friend. This is so funny. How can you expect a best friend relationship when no seed has been planted? You won't even allow that in the natural. In our mere mortal, stunted understanding, we don't even allow people to be our best friend unless they've proven themselves and walk with us for a certain amount of time. There's no way in the world you can have a stranger come off the street and begin to say, here, I'm your friend, share all your secrets, and you just divulge every dark, hidden bone buried in your backyard, in your closet, to a stranger. It doesn't work. That person has to be there through thick and thin. They have to walk with you. They have to now make themselves interested in your life. You all are going to hang out. You spend time together. And that's through closeness that you all become best friends. Now, the same with the Lord. If you don't spend time with him, if you don't still sow that seed of time and relationship, how can you expect such a great reward? This is what we tell people. They look at our relationship with God and they see God's face, you know, coming in the clouds, and they see God doing this, and we're able to speak and heaven backs us up and brings forth healing. You think that came because I just said, Lord, use me mightily in a miracle healing ministry? No. God put me through the ringer. He put my husband through the ringer. We had to sow our seed first of consistency, loyalty, faithfulness, and then God began to bless us as our expectation began to flourish. He blessed us with the manifestation. It's with everything, even as you sow monetarily. As you sow, you cannot afford not to have expectation. While you are withholding from God, it is impossible for your faith to work and expectation to occur. When God speaks to your heart to sow any kind of seed, time, finances, etc., you cannot even begin to expect a harvest until you have obeyed his instructions. Your obedience immediately positions you to be able to expect. I tell people all the time, whenever you desire something or ask a miracle from God, he will give you an instruction first. As soon as they ask God, it's going to happen. Maybe if you get that type of relationship with him, but trust me, it's going to take you some time. But really, literally, every time you ask him, even now, as much of ranking that my husband and I have, we ask God for some stuff. He says, here's an instruction. I never forget that question. We asked him, we wanted some more furniture. We needed something, and budget-wise, it would have been like $300 extra in our budget. So we began to talk to the Lord. This was like over a year ago, maybe 2 years. And I said, Lord, I want this, but, you know, this is going to be extra. So, Lord, can you please bless me with a strategy on how to get more? Can you please bless my increase our increase monthly? And so the Lord began to talk to us, and he said, here's an instruction. Here is a specific widow that I want you to bless. That same $300 that you need a month, give her $300. We said, whoa. We're trying to get more money, and then you're telling us to give out. But we've been with God a long time. We know what he was up to. We gave that widow, that lady, the $300, and that month we needed $300 extra. God ended up giving us $3,000 extra.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You have to understand that when you come to God and you want expectation of a miracle, then you have to know that it's going to come with an instruction. And through your obedience of the instruction, it positions you to be able to expect the harvest immediately. Number three, expectation is produced by obedience. Again, it couples with the last part. Once you plant it, now you can expect it with your obedience. Obedience is proof of faith. Doesn't matter. It may not make sense. I had an old pastor when I was growing up. He said, faith doesn't make sense, and sense doesn't make faith. If I talked to somebody of the common sense and I told them how I had to give away $300 to get $300, they'd be like, that don't make sense. If common sense, you would keep your $300. But that's not how faith works. God will cause you to give away $300 because he wants to give you exceedingly abundantly above of that you could ever ask or think. So we wanted $300. He said, but I'm gonna throw your mind for a loop. If you have faith and expectation in me, give away $300. But even though you only wanted $300, I'm going to give you $3,000. That's what God does.
He is God.
Amen.
Oh, I have faith. Oh, yeah, I'm expecting my miracle. But God has been whispering in their ear, here's the instruction for the miracle. Here's the instruction for the miracle. But they don't want to obey that. They want to act like they're deaf and dumb, and they know what God has called them to do, but they can't release their faith strong enough to realize that it's really putting you in position to be able to expect your miracle. It may not make sense. But when God has sent a man and woman of God to give you instructions, when he has spoken to you yourself, obedience is the only way expectation can come forth. He will always give you an instruction. Your obedience is the only proof that you truly believe his instructions to you. Expect God to bless you for every single act of obedience. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. We expect everything every day. You're going to need this every single day. Do you hear me? Every single day, you're going to need expectation. When we are obedient to God, we expect a reward. We expect some type of blessing because it pleasures him to give you the reward and the manifestation after you have gone forth in being obedient, because your obedience is the only proof that you truly do have faith and you truly do expect something from God. This is what God says. So God even promises you in Deuteronomy 28. I love Deuteronomy 28. I actually quote Deuteronomy 28 and 2 almost every day. But if you read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through, I think, the 14th scripture, he lines it out for you. All the good things, the great things that he will give you if you hearken unto his voice, if you hearken unto his commandments. If you don't believe me, read Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, he talks about it. He says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. And you got to know what diligent means. It doesn't mean hit and miss. Double-minded, here and there, 1 week on, 1 week off. Diligent means to be earnest, consistent, with a perfect effort, loyal. I mean, there's no hidden, skipping, and missing. So if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you observe and do all his commandments, which he's commanded you this day, the Bible says that's what he wants to do. He wants to give you. He says in the word that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy God, he will bless you. So you mean to tell me I'm supposed to feel bad because the Lord gave me almost 100 acres of land to set me on high? Literally, I'm on high on a mountain and you're not? I'm supposed to feel bad because you didn't get it? Well, did you do the obedient thing? Have you been obedient? Have you put your hand to the plow and not looked back? I'm supposed to feel bad because I'm taking 18, 10 different vacations almost in a year because you stuck to a 9-to-5 when God told you to come off that job, told you to prepare for your ministry or your work or your entrepreneurship calling, and you chose not to be obedient because you let fear grab a hold of your decision-making and not faith. I'm supposed to feel bad when I have expectation of every good thing every single day. Every day I wake up expecting. I say, Lord, what am I to expect today? I'm expecting greatness. Right. I'm expecting love. I'm not just talking materialistic. Most women will tell you I'm the least materialistic of them all. I don't like to shop. I don't know half of the name brands. That's just me. But when I do like something, I like something of high quality. But when I tell you something, when I do know, when I desire something, God says anything for you, daughter, because you are faithful to me. You are faithful to me. And that's why I boast and I brag in the things of God. I don't feel bad about letting people know how God has blessed me. I don't feel bad about letting people know how he's healed me. I don't feel bad about letting people know that every single piece of furniture, every single strand of hair, every single long flowing wave of anything that I receive is from God because I've hearkened unto his commandment. Has it been hard? Amen. Yes. Have I been tempted to say, man, this is too much? Yes. Have I been tempted to say, you know what, Lord, you can have this. These people are crazy. I'm tired of putting myself out there and getting hurt. Yes. But you know what? I said it's bigger than them. It's about my commitment to the Lord.
That's
it's
right.
That's right.
Every day I expect something great because
Amen.
I put out here for these knuckleheads. Not talking about you, but if the foot definitely fits the shoe, wear. If you caused me pain on purpose, if you have definitely talked about me, then shame on you. But I put myself, my husband put himself out there on purpose because that's what we're called to do. Still cover you in prayer, speaking life over you. Mm-hmm. This is what we have done.
God.
So you think God won't reward us for that? Being in the crosshairs of people calling us names, calling us, cussing us out, sending hate mail, telling us that they're going to come and find us and jump us and kill us. We've gotten death threats, all of that stuff.
Oh,
but we say, what? This is what we do. This is what we stand for, because we know in the supernatural he will protect what gives him pleasure. Woo, did you get
that's
that?
Right. Come on.
Yeah. We have an abnormal amount of angels, yes, that we command. God has given us to command legions, but people fail to realize that God has given and released legions of angels that have command over us. Bam. Boom, drop the mic. Did you get it? In other words, when you are pleasurable with God and it delights him to bless you because you have been obedient, he's going to protect something that is pleasurable for him. He's going to make sure that there are legions of angels protecting them from every fiery dart, from every curse, from every type of trap, every snare, every car accident, every plane crash. He's going to make sure my son and my daughter is on that plane. Don't let nothing happen to them. I give you charge over them. My son and daughter are in that car. Don't let that truck sway. Don't let anything happen to them. My son and daughter are eating at this restaurant. Even though it might be contaminated, they are not going to feel not one gas pain in their stomach. It will be nourishing for their body. In fact, it will help their skin glow and make their hair grow. So God will protect you even when you're not even sure what you're being protected for. That's why you can't afford to have
faith.
To always rejoice, always expect, always praise on your mouth, because God is protecting you as you live out your life.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.